Like to call the meeting to order. Pursuant to Section 5, the Open Public Meetings Act, this meeting has been duly advertised in accordance with the law by publication in the official newspapers of the borough by posting in Borough Hall by the borough clerk as part of the annual notice. This meeting is a quasi-judicial proceeding, and any comments or questions must be limited to issues that are relevant to what the board may legally consider in reaching a decision. Decorum appropriate to a judicial hearing must be maintained at all times. Have a roll call.
Mr. Wong. Mr. Cosmo.
Here.
Councilman Dougherty.
Here.
Mr. Holly. Mr. Jasko.
Here.
Mr. Kupuski.
Here.
Mr. Gisi.
Here.
Dr. Zuzula. Mr. Curtis.
Here.
Mr. Burke. Ms. Walter.
Here.
Vice Chair Nat.
Here.
Chair McCulter. Decorum.
Please stand for silent prayer and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is time for a public comment for items not on the agenda. Anybody have any questions or comments? Any on the Zoom? No attendees? Any litigation, Mr. Spudd?
I'm happy to report there is none.
Always good. Other business. We have the ordinance subcommittee. Any report on?
Just an update there with some schedule conflicts and the holidays. We've yet to kind of reassemble, so we should have an update for next meeting.
We've got a good hand on it, and, you know, we're talking about some meeting times, so, yeah.
Sounds good. Thank you. The Oprah Board Members' Emails, Mr. Saad, you had sent us something on that?
Yes, I sent you a memorandum. We had an issue in another town that I represent where board members were on a subcommittee of the planning board there and were involved in looking at ordinances and looking at possible changes and revisions to ordinances in the future and so forth. And an interested citizen made an Oprah request for all of the information in that file. And the clerk in that township released all the emails of the individual board members that had sent with their comments and suggestions, opinions, et cetera. And the board members were concerned about that because they weren't, they didn't feel that they should be distributed to the public while they're in a deliberation process. So they asked that I take a look at that. I did. I prepared a memorandum to them, and I've shared it with this board and my other boards so that you're aware of what basically the ground rules are. And the basic ground rule, the general rule, is that the Open Public Records Act definition of government records is very, very broad and does include emails. So that's the general rule, is that emails are discoverable as part of an Oprah request. However, there are some specific exceptions. And the one exception that I think most applies to that situation that I'm describing and probably to situations that you would be involved in with board members are interagency or intra-agency advisory, consultative, or deliberative materials. So that is, if you are, for instance, in the town that I'm talking about, on a subcommittee as a board, looking at possible ordinance revisions or master plan revisions for the future, that's a deliberative process. And that process, the courts have found, should be a process which is protected. And the courts have said that the privilege exists to ensure free and uninhibited communication within governmental agencies so that you can have a free exchange of opinions, free exchange of information, so that you can have that done within the deliberative process, and that isn't something that should be out and released to the public. Only the final revision or the final document is what goes to the public. as part of an OPA request. So the courts have found that in those cases, if you're in a deliberative process, that it should be excluded from an OPA request and should be protected and remain confidential. There are two requirements for that. The first is that the document that you're talking about, an ordinance change, a master plan change, et cetera, is pre-decisional. That is, the ordinance or the master plan hasn't been changed and included those things. If it has, then it's post-decisional and it is discoverable in OPA. But if it's still in the ongoing process of deciding what to put in that final document, it's not discoverable as OPA, and it is confidential, and there's a presumption of confidentiality to those kinds of discussions. The courts have said that the government's interest in candor is the preponderating policy, and the balance is said to have been struck in favor of non-disclosure. So if you're in that process and having discussions via email, my suggestion is that you put as part of your caption on the email of what the subject is or Ray, whatever, that it's discussion Ray, possible ordinance revision, possible master plan revision, possible whatever. So it's in the bright line of the municipal clerk when they're going through the file and deciding what do I have to give and what should I keep as part of the confidential record, that they'll see that at the top that, oh, wait a second, I got to look at this. This is pre-decisional. This is a process of deliberation, and this is something that doesn't go in the package and out the door with the OPA package. So that's basically the sum of it. I mean, there's a lot more technical stuff involved. But that's the bright line, so I just wanted to bring it to your attention. There are two cases in particular that talk about this specifically. There's McGee versus Township of East Amwell case, and that's the one that does say OPA can get emails. They're open. And then there's the Education Law Center case, XRL Abbott versus NJ Department of Education, and that's a case that at length sets forth all the principles and the justification for keeping such communications in confidence. So, just a heads up.
Thank you. Keep in mind. Anybody else have anything else for the business you want to bring up? The discussion? Motion to adjourn workshop meeting.
I'll make a motion to adjourn, Josco.
Second.
Favor.
Yep.
Aye.
Aye. Doherty.
Okay. Regular meeting, call to order. Roll call, please.
Mr. Bond. Mr. Tacamo.
Here.
Councilman Doherty.
Here.
Mr. Holly. Mr. Josco.
Here.
Mr. Kapinski.
Here.
Ms. Majewski.
Here.
Dr. Zuzula. Mr. Curtis.
Here.
Mr. Burke. Ms. Walter.
Here.
Vice Chair Neff.
Here.
Chair McCulter. Ms. Delacon.
Here. Next is approval of November 2nd, 2023 minutes. I want to make a motion. I just got them this evening. I had a chance to look at them.
I'll make a motion to approve, Josco.
Second, Kropinski.
Ms. Councilman Doherty.
Yes.
Mr. Josco.
Yes.
Mr. Kropinski.
Yes.
Ms. Majewski.
Yes.
And Mr. Curtis.
Yes.
Ms. Lawson.
Yes.
Vice Chair Neff.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Evidently, is someone trying to do Zoom? They said there's no sound or video. So what was it? Did someone receive a text?
It is unmuted. And you see that we have somebody in there, but. And that's not us about that. She might be interested in it.
I state your name. Yes, the Underlet. Maybe we put that up a little. It starts reading.
That's not, they haven't saved it. The resolution, that was just a typo on one of the numbers, so it's just a correction of the typo.
Okay, well, we'll see if we hear any more about it. We'll see if we hear any more about it. Thank you. Okay, next is approval of attorney's voucher for September 2023. We have not received those vouchers as of yet, so we will not be able to vote on that item tonight. So we're on to the next item. Resolution for PB 23-01, Kennedy Wright, 3 River Court, River B6, L1.02.
Mr. Chairman, this application was approved and a resolution was previously adopted by the board. However, it was pointed out that there was a typographical error with one of the numbers. So this is an amending resolution to correct the numbers. No substantive changes.
A motion to accept?
I'll make a motion to accept. Kropinski.
Second?
I'll second. Jasko.
Thank you.
Of the eligible voters, Mr. Jasko?
Yes.
Mr. Kropinski?
Yes.
And Ms. Walter?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Next is an application PB 23-07 VSC 1 Bayshore Plaza B04 LS 1 and 2.
Mr. Chairman, we've received correspondence from the applicant's attorney, Mr. Lexstein. We've also received correspondence from the attorney, Mr. Dasty, for the township of Middletown. And as a result of that, they've had communications together and have decided that they would like to carry this application to the February meeting so that they can meet and communicate and see if they can resolve any differences that they have before proceeding with the application. They've granted an extension of time to get through that period. That's essentially the status we have now. The board just needs to grant to adjourn or carry the case to, as I understand it, the meeting in February of 2024 will be on the first. That's the first Thursday of the month. So we're going to carry this application. I reviewed the service. The service was in order, and the board does have jurisdiction, but the applicant is requested to be carried to February 1, 2024. So if there's anyone here in the audience who has an interest in this application, it's PB 2307, 1 Bayshore Plaza, Block 104, Lots 1 and 2, and that's the VSC application. It is not going to be heard this evening. It is going to be carried to February 1, 2024 at 7 p.m. in this same room. You're not going to get another letter. It's not going to be republished in the newspaper. This is the notice that you'll get. So if you're interested in that application, you need here to be here on that date and time.
Can't say anything tonight.
It's not even starting tonight.
You can
submit something to the board. Yes.
Who do I do?
You can just bring it over to Ms. Tran.
All right. Okay. Five pictures for each.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Sir, can you just tell us who you are and what your address is?
Lawrence Thorpe, I live at 60 Bayside Drive.
Thank you, sir.
Atlanta, Connelly.
Thank you, sir. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Oh. Next application.
Do we have to make a motion?
I'm sorry. Make a motion to... Application PB 2308, Danian, 42 Hooper Avenue, B 54, L7.
Mr. Chairman, I've reviewed service in connection with this application. The service is in order, and the board does have jurisdiction to hear the case. And Mr. Anderson is here on behalf of the applicant.
Good evening.
Also, perhaps before he starts, I can read in the exhibits that I'm aware of that the board has received thus far in connection with the application. They include the variance application of Diana and Yunus Ganian. That's dated August 11, 2023. Exhibit A2 is a zoning review. That's dated July 24, 2023. Exhibit A3 is a steep slope review from the engineers, CME Associates. That's dated November 1, 2022. Exhibit A4 is a review number one from CME Associates. That's dated October 9, 2023. Exhibit A5 is our architectural elevation and floor plans prepared by SOME Architects, dated June 23, 2023. Exhibit A6 is a steep slope plan prepared by Two River Engineering. That's dated May 11, 2022, revised October 7, 2022. Those are the exhibits that I'm aware of thus far in connection with the application. And I'll turn it over to Mr. Anderson now.
We just received this this evening.
Okay, so I'm being handed the Carlin Simpson and Associates LLC letter dated November 28, 2023, and that'll be Exhibit A7.
Thank you, Mr. Stibe. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. John Anderson, a law firm of Foss and Wolfson Milne, on behalf of the applicants, Diana and Jonas Ganian. Again, this is 42 Hooper Avenue. It's a steeply sloped lot on a steeply sloped street, and it has an existing single-family home already on the property. Home is sort of set up on the hill with a single-car garage one bay down below the level of the cellar, and it's kind of flanked on either side by peanut stone wing walls. The garage is very tight. I think that's an understatement. You couldn't fit a larger vehicle in there, even with a smaller vehicle. I am told that the applicants have a little trouble getting in and out of the vehicle, particularly if they're both riding together and they have to kind of park and leave room for the passenger and the driver to get out. It's a little bit more manageable if you just have a driver and they can kind of park at an offset, get out. In any event, there's two of them, and they each have a car. They have the garage, which is moderately serviceable, and then they have some semblance of a space where you could kind of stack vehicles, but inevitably that leads to one of the cars having to move to give way to the other to get it out of the garage. I have that type of setup at my home. It's a, sort of a moderate nuisance. My wife and I deal with it. For these folks, they're sort of positioned a little bit differently because of the steep slopes. As I've been told, there's actually been a couple safety issues, one involving my client's vehicle where a runaway car hit them while they were parked on the street, and their car let loose and ended up in a house. So trying to avoid parking on the street, trying to avoid these excessive movements in and out of this small driveway and small garage. So that's the impetus for the project. And sort of the main thrust of the project, as you hear from our architect, is to move out sort of laterally, maintain the same setback, which is not in compliance with your ordinance. You require a 25-foot front setback. We're presently at 14.9, proposing to remain at 14.9, but to continue that same setback along the frontage. And so that's the primary variance associated with this application. But what it will do is, if the board's inclined to grant the approval, it will give them the ability to have a two-car driveway with a two-car garage, so ample off-street, one-car driveway with two-car garage, ample off-street parking, avoids the jockeying around of the vehicles, avoids the safety issues, avoids overburdening a roadway where parking is only allowed on one side and where many of the homeowners don't have driveways, and where you also have some fire hydrants. So parking's in short supply. We'd like to create some more. We think that the front setback variance in comparison to the parking to be gained is worthwhile, and we're also dealing with these steep slopes that don't really allow us to move the driveway or to move the garage back from the roadway, because you get into some critical slope areas that can't really be disturbed. We have some folks with us this evening. The fellow that you'll hear from for the bulk of the time is Mike Simpson. He's seated to my right. He's an architect, and he's also a licensed professional planner. I'll get him sworn, and we'll start with him. In the gallery, we have our engineer, Mr. Garrido, if needed, and we do have Bob Simpson, Robert Simpson of Carlin & Simpson, who submitted what's been marked as A7. I'm not going to mark any other exhibits at this time, but you will see some color photos this evening to try to give you a good idea of what's presently there, and we'll present the plans that are already marked into evidence to try to really clearly walk you through what it is we're proposing. Can we get Mr. Simpson sworn?
Certainly. Raise your right hand to be sworn, please. Do you swear or affirm that any testimony given tonight should, with this proceeding, be the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
And a name and address.
I should clarify, we have Mr. Simpsons, so the other Mr. Simpson was also raising his hand.
And no really.
Get him when he comes up. Go ahead.
Good evening. Project...
You should state your name and address.
Please. Oh, sure. I'm sorry. My name's Michael Simpson. I am with SOME Architects, PC, 65 Mama Street, Red Bank, New Jersey. I am an architect in the state of New Jersey, as well as a licensed planner, as Mr. Anderson has mentioned. I've been an architect since 1985 and a planner since 1987.
And have you previously testified before this board or other local land use boards?
I have been a long time since I've been in front of this board. Prior to, we think we were here in the late 90s for Mr. Veth, over Tom Veth's house. And we've done our best to try to keep away from the boards as often as we can to try to make sure that we comply with the ordinances. So it's been a long time at this specific board, but I've given testimony both as an architect and a planner throughout Monmouth County, Middletown, Red Bank, Neptune, Long Branch, Seabright, Little Silver, Rumson, Fairhaven, both as an architect and a planner.
Will the board accept the witness's credentials as an architect and planner?
Board have any issues? No, he's accepted.
Thank you.
Mr. Simpson, are you familiar with the subject property?
Very. We were retained in 2020. It was really right just actually, yeah, so right in 2020, 2021, right in the middle of the whole pandemic stuff. And we were asked to try to investigate doing an expansion of their one-car garage. The initial discussion was that we were going to attempt to try to put a second bed underneath of the house. Nobody really wanted to disturb the yard. They really loved their yard the way it is now. And so their concern was that they didn't really want to do that. So they were really looking to see if they could expand underneath the house. As you'll see later with the rest of my testimony, that proved to be a challenge at best.
And Mr. Simpson, I visited the site. I'm not sure if all the board members have. Would you just describe the existing improvements and maybe have some photos to supplement your testimony?
I do. So the photos to supplement my testimony, there's copies, I think, for every board member.
We'll do these as A8, Mr. Stibe, and it's going to be eight photographs, color photos, marked as sheets PH1 and PH2. And dated today's date for the public hearing.
John, behind. If you're familiar with Hooper Avenue, you should know this is a fairly steep street leading up to a crown at the top of...
Mr. Anderson, I just want to put on the record that one of our board members, Ms. Walter, has just indicated that she feels that she has a relationship with someone related to your law firm and should probably step down.
That's fair. Thank you.
So the record will reflect that.
Thank you. Again, it's kind of up on the rise of Hooper Avenue as you travel up off of Grand. On the right-hand side, you go around a fairly lengthy curve, and you arrive not quite all the way at the very top of the hill. There's only one other house between it and the top of the hill. The house was built in 1914. It's had a number of different renovations over its history, the primary ones being, if you look at the sheet A100 of our exhibit, A101 of our exhibit, the most recent additions and renovations of the home were decks that were on the west side and the northwest side of the house for outdoor living space. As noted by Mr. Anderson, it's a very steep slope, a very steeply sloping site, and our consulting engineers can speak a little bit better to those issues, but we were very concerned with it from the beginning. As we began to try to investigate what we could do with the garage, I would refer you back, one page back on our exhibit to A100. We attempted to try to fit the garage initially into the left section, the left-hand section of this plan view. The plan view that you're looking at is what proposed renovations there are to the existing home at the cellar level. So it's a page before this one that's on the screen. I'm looking at A100 now instead of A101. Thank you. There we go. Perfect.
Thanks.
So on the left-hand side of this plan, those are the proposed renovations to the interior of the house. And this does get very confusing as to what you're looking at here, but essentially this house, this level of the house is a cellar, as I understand it by the definition of the ordinance. Significant chunks of this house are all below grade. There are doors and windows currently existing on the west side of the house, out underneath of that deck area. But the rest of the house is pretty much buried, with the exception of the garage door, which is currently located on this plan where it says entry. Again, you'll see in the site plan view for Mr. Garrido's plan where the existing driveway is. But where it says entry, currently that is a garage that goes straight through, as Mr. Anderson mentioned. It goes through what we're showing on this is the entry, the laundry, and the storage areas. In order to actually function as a garage, you can't have people getting out of both sides of the car. It's only 9 feet, 8 inches wide on the inside of this garage. More importantly, if you look at the area which is just east of what is noted as entry, that driveway area is at a slope greater than 8% coming up to the street. On either side of that is a retaining wall made of peanut stone, as Mr. Anderson mentioned, that essentially blocks your view up and down Hooper Avenue. You really can't see around the corner if you're trying to drive forward out of the garage. Now, the catch there is that if you want to drive forward out of the garage, you have to back into the garage, which is not exactly a real safe thing to be doing on such a steep street. So the typical way it is used is they do drive in forward, but then, of course, they're stuck with backing onto Hooper Avenue up an 8-degree, steeper than 8-degree slope driveway. So it's a pretty dangerous condition to come in and out of that driveway. While we did try to investigate the idea of modifying the house in a way to try to get another bay of the garage into the left-hand side, because of the steepness of the road in that location, it really meant that you're going to be dealing with the same kind of steep driveway slope out onto the street. So we just began to scratch our heads, and we kept looking at the property, and as noted by Mr. Anderson on our sheet, PH1, that was just handed to you a few moments ago, the photograph sheet. You'll notice in the top left-hand corner, that's the view of the street and that garage door, as I mentioned, with a very steep driveway coming up to the street. There's a set of steps that go up from east to west that go up to a lawn. If you'd like to see what the lawn looks like, you would flip to our sheet PH2, and that's that nice green thing on the two right-hand photographs of PH2. It is a completely level property area. that happens to be about 8 to 9 feet above the street level. We kept trying to figure out where we were going to put a garage, and we said, well, wait a minute. We have a plane that's 9 feet above our head off the street. What if that plane was removed and put back and made the roof of a garage? So we investigated that, and we looked at slopes, and working with Mr. Garrido, we concluded it would be possible to take and move the driveway and the garage to the north along Hooper Avenue, and in fact get a much better driveway, twice the width of the one that's here, with a slope that doesn't come up into the street, but in fact down into the street. Excuse me. And in that way would actually create a much safer condition for people coming and going from the property. It also has the added benefit of providing for 2+ parking spaces, we feel, on the property, where one is maybe 2 in that very narrow driveway or garage underneath of the house. The other photographs, for illustration purposes, again, bottom left-hand corner of that PH2 shows that existing driveway and garage condition. It also shows you to the back of where that lawn is. There is currently a basement door, or excuse me, a cellar door, as we believe it should be referred to, that is on the other side away from that that set of steps that we show on PH1. Those steps lead you down into the cellar currently. That door will be vacated. This part of the yard will be completely filled, and they'll basically expand their existing lawn yard area up at the level of the main living level of the house. If we flip back to our sheet A101 again, it's a little confusing because of the number of different graphics on that page, but I'll try to explain this a little bit carefully here. Essentially, what you'll have at the plane of the main living level of the house is you'll have a new lawn expanded into the area towards the living room at the west. There is a small gray area that's noted as 122 on that plan. That happens to be a brick patio that's going to be put back in place. It's going to be taken out in order to build the garage, but it'll be put back in place on that lawn, much like they have now. The existing driveway area will be filled in with, and will have new retaining walls. Those retaining walls are intended to be less than 4 feet in height in the area of the existing driveway. The existing retaining walls that are further south of that would stay in place, and we would just fill in that work with new retaining walls, again, intending those to be less than 4 feet on that side. We will be recreating the staircase. The staircase that's there now that takes you up to the lawn is a little bit rickety and not exactly the most safe. So we're going to replace that staircase with a new one. Either side of that, there will also be retaining walls. Those walls will get to be more than 4 feet high because of that elevation up to the upper level. On two of the sides, on the west, well, actually three of the sides, on the west, north, and east sides of that newly reconstructed lawn, we will actually have a planting bed for low vegetation. Again, bringing you back to the photographs of the site, if you look at the photographs on PH2 in the top right-hand corner, you'll notice there's a hedgerow very densely planted along that side. That's what we intend to recreate on these three sides. You'll see that there's a little bit of an arbor-like fixture at the end of that. Similarly, we hope to replace that because that's really the access back down onto the natural grade of the site. And you'll see that that's a break in the vegetation on that plan, A101, in the northeast corner. So that's kind of where you'll walk off of the roof of the garage back on the natural grade.
Mr. Simpson, it's a little hard to understand because of the subterranean nature of it. If I was just going to kind of sum up the proposal, new two-car garage with associated driveway, the garage being sort of subterranean or buried, and could you characterize the new lawn as a green roof of sorts?
Yes, very definitely. We plan to use what's called a C-plast green roof system. It's used as a green roof system in many buildings in Manhattan right now, wherever they're trying to create a green roof space and meeting the green standards of the city of New York. That system is a membrane over top of the existing, not over the existing, but over the new roof. Essentially makes that roof be a tray, for lack of a better description. That will have drainage pipes that will go back out to the natural grade of the site, primarily to the north and the east. We are very conscious, as Mr. Simpson's report discusses, of staying very clear of certain areas to the north specifically. So we have a limited disturbance that keeps us away from that area and make sure that we are just bringing our drainage back out to Hooper Avenue where we can. We will not be bringing any drainage from this roof anyplace to the west. It's too steep. There's too many chances for erosion there, and we don't want to be anywhere near that.
Before we move on to some of the more technical details and address some of the issues that were in the engineer's review letter, is anybody from the board having trouble kind of following the 30,000-foot view, the overall concept of what we're trying to achieve? I know it's just it's a little confusing given that you've got these slopes and also just burying this structure in the hillside. Everybody kind of following where we're at so far?
You think this is our first slope?
Definitely not.
I'm a flatlander. I live in Middle Silver, so you guys have a leg up on me there. So we'll get into the technical stuff, and if some questions arise, we're certainly happy to field them at any time. So, Mr. Simpson, a question came up as to how many bedrooms are existing and proposed?
Right now, the house has three bedrooms and a fourth room that could be classified as a bedroom that's currently being used as a study. So I guess on your standards, it would be considered to be a four-bedroom home.
Okay. And what would that dictate in terms of a parking requirement under the residential site improvement standards?
As mentioned in Mr. Romeyer's review letter, it would require 2.5 spaces. As you noted already, we sort of have two spaces on the site now. We believe that the 2.5 spaces that's being suggested by Rhesus would actually be satisfied by providing the two-car garage plus a fairly significant apron on that, all on the site.
Okay. A question arose as to the existing height of the home, you know, both in feet and stories. I think the trick on the stories ends up being that you've reviewed the definition of cellar, and do I understand cellars are excluded as a story under the ordinance? Is that right?
That's my understanding of the ordinance as well, that we believe that the level that is below grade in this house would qualify as a cellar under your definitions in your ordinance. Additionally, we have added a note to our A200 drawing, which I realized had been toggled off when we sent our drawings in. Digitally, there was a dimension string in three places that was missing. So the height of the house, while measured from the street at the extreme southern end of the site, is 27 feet, 3 inches to ridgeline. At the northern end of the site, it is approximately 32 feet, 10 and a half inches. Averaging those out, we're clearly below the 35 feet.
Proposed to remain unchanged as well, right?
Exactly. There is no actual change to the house itself. It is only that which we're putting underground.
One caveat, I see a little cupola structure. Can you just review that really quick while we're on this exhibit?
Sure. There's an existing fireplace that has never been used. Actually, there's multiple fireplaces in the house. So again, in that photograph on PH1, top left-hand corner, you can see a very substantial chimney in the sort of center of that photograph in the top left corner. That fireplace will remain in the existing house, and it also shows up in the floor plans on A100 and A101. But there is a fireplace that existed in the house that has since been determined to be removed. That chimney will go away, and they're suggesting a coop will be put back in its place to sort of maintain that vertical element in that location on the house, as opposed to an actual chimney.
All right. Otherwise, the height of the structure, the mass is remaining unchanged, but for the garage that we talked about down at the street level.
Correct.
Let's see. There were some questions regarding the extent of impervious coverage and whether we would, in fact, remain within the allowable. Are we able to reconfirm that we'll remain within the allowable impervious coverage?
I can. Again, Mr. Garrido's Two River Engineering's civil plan, which we use for the slope analysis, did come to the conclusion that we would be allowed 5,633 square feet. We are proposing 4,946 square feet, so it is significantly lower than what is allowed under total lot coverage.
Would you speak to the floor area ratio inquiry in Mr. Romeyer's letter?
Sure. We believe that the FAR calculations measuring to the outside of the walls, and also an important thing to note is we did, under the ordinance, take into account the cellar areas that are 7 feet. So there's a funny condition about this really terrible cellar to begin with, is that it's 6 feet, 10 and a half inches in the actual ceiling spaces throughout that space. The garage, because of its construction, gets deeper and taller as it gets to the back of the site. So we counted in that floor area as your ordinance allows, the 50%, and we came up with an FAR of 0.13, where 0.35 is allowed.
There was a question as far as landscaping. Is it your testimony that the existing style of landscaping with those hedgerows would be replaced somewhat in like kind on this green roof?
Yes, we're very concerned that we try to maintain that look as you come up the street. They really do like that sort of privacy that that hedgerow provides. And we're concerned also because as you get to where the garage doors, we don't want people falling off the edge of the yard. So the dense hedgerow will be brought back. We will not be able to recreate the two trees that are there. There are two trees on the site in that vicinity of the yard, a large holly tree and a large coniferous tree, don't remember the species, that's back near the house where that base, where that cellar door goes down. Those two trees will have to come out for the construction of the garage. But because of the system on the roof, we won't be able to put back trees of that substance. We could put them in the planters near the street, and we have discussed that as a possibility. But since we're also trying to be very conscious of trying to not create a site triangle problem where we're trying to fix one, we are really quite concerned about putting any real substantial trees in any of those planter areas along the street.
As an architect, let's strike that. You mentioned quite a few retaining walls. Is the applicant's intent to attempt to utilize existing peanut stone as cladding on some of these retaining walls?
Yeah, that was actually an early conversation we had, and we were concerned that we were afraid we weren't going to be able to find a source for this material. And trying to recreate the walls that are there. Because, again, it's a very common material. If you go to the viaduct, you know, it's that same kind of stone that's being used. And so we're very concerned about trying to recreate that. And it turns out, according to the landowners, the property owners, much of that stone was culled from the site. As they were doing various different yard work, they kept finding, as they went around the yard, more and more of that very same stonework. Exists. So as we are going to be making cuts in the existing stone wall to create the new garage and driveway, all of that stone material is going to be retained on site and will be reused. Similarly, those peanut stone sections that we can cull from the existing driveway and its two retaining walls, we're going to try to remove and reutilize as part of the facade and part of the facing of the new retaining walls.
Given that attempt to reuse the existing stone as the cladding, just given the overall appearance of the home, is your testimony as an architect that the home will continue to kind of comply with the overall neighborhood aesthetic up there on Hooper?
Yes, I think so. I mean, I think really in the case of what's happening here, you're going to end up with two garage doors. So you have a second garage door where one exists now. That particular garage door then goes away, and you'll have more planting, the kind of which is currently on site. So I think it's perfectly consistent, and the house itself really visually will not be changed on the exterior at all.
I'd like to kind of shift gears a little bit and kind of segue into some of the more planning type testimony. Mr. Simpson will be here. He can answer any architectural questions, any planning questions that the board may have, the professionals may have. So it's not as if we're closing the book on the architectural component. Mr. Simpson, I'd like to just cover really quickly with you the variances associated with this application. So we already talked about the front setback, maintaining the 14.9 foot front setback where 25 is required. My understanding is there's a variance called out for an existing condition involving the side setback to the south.
To the southwest corner, there is an existing shed, which doesn't really even show up on the survey of the property. If you look at our cover sheet A000, and you look at the southwest corner of the property at the top of that sheet, it's a diagrammatic site work drawing. But the top, very top left-hand corner, if you can read and understand the topography there, you can see there's somewhat of a flat area. That continues on, and Mr. Garrido's plan actually shows that a little bit better, obviously, with the steep slope issues. But in order to have a lawnmower on the site, there needed to be a place to put the lawnmower. And the only place you could get the lawnmower up to the lawn is from the west side of the site. So they placed a very small, it's roughly an 8x8 shed in the southwest corner. That happens to be 1 foot off the property line. It's been there, and it's been there as long as I've known the property.
Okay. And again, the lawnmower couldn't be stored within the garage because the garage is 9 feet below the level of the lawn.
That is correct.
No ramp to get it up.
That's correct. Okay. They do have they have the ability to come up the lawn at the backside right now. We are in fact actually removing what they currently have is a brick sidewalk that goes up on the west side of where we're proposing the garage. We're actually going to remove part of that brick sidewalk because of the fact that we have to get under our lot coverage requirement. So that'll be returned to lawn, and they'll be able to mow their way to the top of the garage.
All right, so that's the accessory side yard setback to an existing shed that's not proposed to change. And I guess there's also an existing condition involving the rear corner of the home itself, where it's a little bit too close to the lot.
Well, the whole south side of the house exists in violation of the side yard setbacks. It's been that way since 1910. Moving the house doesn't seem like much of an option in this particular case.
Right, and we're not planning to come any closer
no.
to the lot line. Correct. And the only other variance I think was called out was just for the enlargement of the home itself, seeing as the home doesn't comply in all regards.
That is correct. The house expanding would be an expansion of a non-conforming. It's our belief, as we discussed earlier, there's a discussion in Mr. Rohmeyer's letter as well, that the house is considered to be a three-story home. Our understanding, again, is that it would be a two-story home, as the cellar is not a story, and the attic under the pitched roof is not even possible to be made into a habitable attic in any way, shape, or form. So it also would not be counted as a story.
The attic's not accessible by stairs now, is it?
No, it has a hatch. We are going to put a pull-down stair, like a classic ladder, attic ladder into it, but there is not going to be a stair that goes up into the attic in any way, shape, or form.
Okay. Would you just briefly cover the legal standards for the variance relief and then cover the positive and negative criteria?
Sure. So as I'm sure you're all well aware of, there are generally two tests. The first is due to the unique shape of the lot and the topographic conditions. Pretty steep lot, pretty steep conditions, and we really have those as an existing condition. Because of those steep slopes, we're really in a place where the only place that a better and safer garage could be built is under that existing lawn. If we were to try to push that garage deeper into the site, you would have a much greater disturbance of all of those steep slopes. And we're really trying to make sure that we stay away from those. The second test is what we might talk to as a flexible C variance. And that the purposes of the land use law are advanced by a deviation from the ordinance requirements, and the benefits of the deviation substantially outweigh any detriments. If you have driven Hooper Avenue, you know what a steep street that is, and you know how difficult it can be, and the idea that there are cars parked on that street at all make it a challenge. We think that the deviation in this particular case, by creating a two-car garage with a very wide driveway, giving better line of sight up and down Hooper Avenue, is in fact an abundant assistance to the street.
Speaking to any detriment, do you see any potential detriment to the public good?
None at all. The intent of the zone plan is to keep your residential districts the residential districts that they are. We're trying to make it a better one by having it be one that is a little more vehicle supportive and makes it less dangerous for the people who live on that street.
I have no further questions for this witness, but I'd certainly invite the board to ask any questions they may have, the professionals to ask any questions that they may have.
Mr. Barbaro, you want to start with me?
Thank you. I'd like to just spend a minute looking at that lowest level and making sure it fits into our definition of basement or cellar. Are you able to bring up the exhibit showing the elevation view?
That would be A200. As I noted, and I apologize for that, I have a board and I have an updated version of that sheet, A200.
So why don't we mark that, Mr. Simpson, if we could? I think we're up to A9. You'd like me to put your board up on the easel then?
Sure. Thank you.
So we're max building height's 35 feet overall within the zone.
Pardon me?
The max building height within the zone is 35 feet, and your testimony was you're under 33 feet overall height from the
lowest point measured on Hooper Avenue. Again, the definition, as I understand it, is the measuring along the street elevation of the house.
It's along the frontage. I agree
right.
with you on that.
Right. So at the extreme northern end, it's 32 feet, 10 and a half inches is our measurement from the garage level, the floor of the garage level, which would be, of course, the curb line, up to the ridge of the house.
So the overall dimension, lowest point of the house, tallest point of the house, along the frontage is under 35 feet, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So the way the code reads it, it's the average elevation across the front.
Right. And so on the
street, so it would actually be less than that.
Yes.
So I'm all right with the with building height overall. When it comes to stories, we have to make the distinction if that lowest level is truly a basement or a cellar. So I think it would behoove your client, if we just looked at like the second part of the definition of cellar. So
sure. That's the one that has to do with what is the ceiling height relative to the space and the 75% rule.
So you have to meet two prongs to be considered a cellar at that lowest level?
Right.
The second prong is the vertical distance between the average level of the finished grade at the front of the building and the interior ceiling height of the level shall not differ by more than 3 feet. So do you have the average elevation along the front of the building?
Yes, on this exhibit, if you look at the extreme left hand of that exhibit, you'll see there's an elevation marker on the elevation. There's like a datum circle with two corners colored in. That's the height of the first floor. The structure of that floor, which takes you down to the ceiling of the cellar below, is roughly 1 foot from finished surface to finished surface. And from that ceiling to where the planters and the general grade on that side of the house are is only 1 foot. I think I have it 1 foot 8 inches at this southern end of the house. As you get over to the area where you are at what on our plan is described as the gallery, but happens to be the next sort of planter bed area that is the gallery leading into the entry, where the old garage driveway was. The structure there is from 2 foot 6 inches from the ceiling to the grade area in that planter bed. And then because you have to step down from the porch onto the roof of the garage, you go down another few inches, it's roughly 8 to 10 inches to the rooftop of the garage, and then the garage structure in total is going to be roughly a foot thick between the planting and this, to the underside of the structure. You then have 2 feet from the underside of the garage ceiling to the planter bed at the front of the garage. Now, obviously, when you get to the garage doors, that drops. You get to the situation where you have roughly 7.5 feet is the common ceiling dimension. Now, the ceiling dimension, because we had to get this to work out to be a drainage grade that actually meets the building code and actually drains from the site, the entire ceiling of this whole thing slopes from where the house is down to the north. So there's a cross-sectional view on our sheet A201, next one after the elevation view, which explains this. So the entire thing is pitching from south down to the north, and in fact the floor inside of this thing has to step up in order to get in there. But at no place do you ever have a ceiling height more than 8 feet any place in that that takes you from the southern end of the garage. So when you get to the other sides of the garage is entirely buried on the entire north side. There is a slight section on the west side that would be out of the ground maybe a foot to about 3 feet at the southwest corner of the garage. So again, taking out for the 1 foot of the structure from the top of the lawn to the bottom of the structure, that's a foot. You only have 2 feet left over from the average grade along that side of the garage to the ceiling of the garage.
So sort of synthesizing all those different metrics, you're comfortable with the vertical distance.
I'm real comfortable.
Average level of the finished grade at the front.
Yeah, when you get to the west side of the house underneath the deck, of course, that becomes, again, a situation where you are a fully exposed wall. But the rest of this structure, it's the foundation of the house. The entire south side, east side of the house, otherwise, is completely buried.
So the average level of the finished grade at the front of the building, you think is approximate to, is 3 feet or less to the ceiling?
Is absolutely 3 feet or less.
I see how the two-thirds or the majority of the frontage of the building, the outside grade is elevated. I would just ask that if the application's approved, that map gets placed and depicted on a resolution compliance plan set?
Absolutely.
So we know exactly what we're approving?
Absolutely.
And we could confirm that with map. So, that being said, cellar, not a story, two-story, where 2.5 stories are permitted, so that I agree with you on that, provided the math works out. And then cellar, okay, so then you're all right with your FAR as well. You have plenty of space with your FAR. It's not that every designation between cellar or basement would impact or trigger the need for a D variance. Okay, so height and story we're okay with. The roof itself that's proposed to be covered with lawn.
Yes.
Can you just reconfirm that rainwater going through that roof, grass and soil, it's going to be collected and directed out to the street?
Yes, correct. So I can give you a little bit of a description of this. Looking at our sheet A101, actually sheet A101 and 201 kind of go hand in hand on this, and I think 201 we can probably modify to help clarify this whole grade issue as well. The Two River Engineering Plan does give benchmark elevations around the site as well, and we can have Mr. Garrido add some elevations to that also help clarify where the heights of things are relative to the ceiling height all the way around the addition. But these two plans together, what we're going to have is, we're going to have grade is going to be pitching from, as you look at this plan, left to right, which is south down to the north. Again, if you were to look at the grading plan on Mr. Garrido's plan, you will see that that is all natural grade, but we're going to have, the roof is actually going to be pitching to the northeast corner where that opening is in the vegetation there. So it'll be pitching to that corner. Currently, the site has storm drains that connect all the gutters in the house, and those are actually currently running to the street. Unfortunately, the way they're run currently is that they're run out over the sidewalk that actually pours out through a pipe. If you were to look at our photograph, you won't be able to see it very well, but in photograph on PH1 in the top left-hand corner, right alongside the garage wall, you'll see that there, if you were to do a close-up of the very corner of the garage wall, there's a pipe coming out of that wall about 2.5 feet above the sidewalk. That's currently carrying the storm drainage. Mr. Anderson has a much better picture of that.
We can mark it as A10 or hold it up.
So for the board members, you can see that that 4-inch pipe is coming out roughly 2.5 feet above the sidewalk. We're going to basically run that down behind the garage and out to the street close to the sidewalk. If we are going to be making a curb cut, I suspect we could also make it come right to the curb and be a pipe that actually drains out at the curblet.
So where do we see how the impervious roof is going to drain? Where do we see that? I see on
It is not shown on this because it's actually going to be part of our construction drawings. We have to finish that detailed plan for the drainage piping on this. We didn't finish the construction drawings because we never got approval. We were never going to have a drainage plan.
So for the purpose of the board's consideration, all runoff or stormwater that lands on the roof, percolates through, hits your impervious liner, it's all going to be directed to the street and not,
that is over, correct.
Not over the slope.
That is correct.
Have you reviewed the proposed limited disturbance on the steep slope plan?
I have. But I don't know if it wouldn't be better for Mr. Garrido to speak to that or Mr. Simpson, the other Mr. Simpson.
Well, maybe all of you, but at this point, with regards to your proposed foundation, have you are these the actual foundation drawings that you're going to be using, A201, or are they
on? No, there's definitely more. I did bring one of those sheets, which we are developing. As I said, it's not finished, but I have a sheet A500 I could enter as A11, which is a complete deal, set of details of reinforced concrete foundation walls, as well as the concrete roof construction, as well as the supply system. So we have A500 is the... excuse me, the concrete foundation sheet, A501 will be the, I believe it's 501, will be the SIPLAS system and its drainage system.
Okay, so what would
we can make those as a condition of the approval if the board should choose, and make those as things to send to your review.
So my initial concern is that the actual foundation needed to construct this addition can exist within the proposed limited disturbance, because the limited disturbance is regulated. It's a quantified item that's regulated by our code.
The constructor of this project happens to also be here. We were not intending to bring him as a witness this evening, but he could be, provide testimony if you need him to. But again, we have not finished the detailing of this absent an approval.
So your proposed expansion can be constructed within the
limits of disturbance as defined, yes.
Okay. And then the foundation itself, what would this board or members of the public expect to see during construction? Can you just describe what the foundation is going to look like? Is it a deep foundation system?
Well, it's deep, certainly in the sense that we have at least, you know, 8-9 feet above your head to start out with, is that, you know, where the lawn will be. So there will be an excavation that will be taken out into Hooper Avenue, and a reinforced concrete wall will be poured along with the slab. So until the garage is finished, until the planters are put back in place, you'll see a reinforced concrete foundation wall. When that is completed, the foundation will be covered either by the peanut stone, as we discussed, or the existing field stone that is on the site, on the street side, and certainly on the neighbor side to the west. There won't be anything more than a 1 to 3 foot high exposure of the foundation wall. So you won't see anything other than what you see on A200, and all of that is intended to be a stone wall that matches the existing stone.
I believe the application indicated with regards to removal of vegetation, there was only one holly to be removed?
There's a holly that's definitely going to be removed. There's also a conifer, the exact, again, species I do not have. But it sits, if you're looking at exhibit A101, it sits kind of at the roughly the northeast corner of what is referred to as the family room deck, the FR deck. So that conifer will be coming out. That's also can be seen in our PH2 sheet. It's kind of nestled in the corner there. It's blocking windows and things like that in the corner. Bottom right-hand corner, that's the conifer in the sort of elbow of the house. That will come out, as well as the holly tree on the site, on the street, which is in the top left-hand photo of PH1.
With regards to tree removal, I believe this is your exhibit handed out tonight.
Yes.
PH2. The upper right photo looks like it depicts a large deciduous tree in along the perimeter of the lawn. Is that?
I think that tree is actually diseased and coming out also. You are correct. That would also be coming out.
Due to construction or due to the condition?
The condition of it really is the main reason they want it to be gone. The concern is that it may one day become something that would jeopardize the house itself.
Is that part of the request tonight to remove
that
tree?
Yes. Well, thank you.
I think it's depicted as a 30-inch oak on the Two River plan.
Yes.
Apologies if you already addressed this. The use of the proposed structure, is it still single family?
Oh yeah, they have adult daughters who sometimes come home for, like, you know, college, you know, breaks and things like that. But basically, it's the two of them living there. She's going to have an art studio down on the cellar level where she does pottery. But yes, single family residence.
How many kitchens?
One kitchen.
One kitchen. Okay. So your plan sheet A100 is referred to as the cellar plan. Can that level be isolated from the two levels above it? Can it function independently? I mean,
no.
Can you access it through the garage?
No, I mean, it is accessed through the garage, but I've never been considered to be anything remotely considered to be a residence. They're going to have a family room on the west side there where they'll have, you know, classic family room stuff, TV, you know, entertainment center. They have storage area. There is no plan for anything resembling a kitchen in that level. There is a bathroom at that level already in the house, and they're just moving it over a little bit and renovating that area. It's an existing full bathroom. it's a lot easier to come in off the grade on the west side and come in and use that bathroom than to go up and downstairs every time you need to use the bathroom at the first floor or the second floor.
So access to the cellar level?
It is only through the house or the garage itself.
The garage. And then the story above it, which you're calling the first floor plan, you can get direct access from the street?
Yeah, that staircase that we're building from, rebuilding essentially from Hooper Avenue up onto the new lawn, that is the existing front porch, the main entry of the house.
I just want to be very clear for the.
Yeah, no, that's.
It's a single family, it's not
yep.
two families.
Nope.
An apartment.
No intention.
Because what brought it to my attention was on the cellar plan, that workshop in the back with, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's a slop sink. Yeah, no, it's a slop sink. It's,
so have,
she's a potter.
Yeah, it looks like you have everything that you need for a.
I understand. Never even thought of it. Sorry.
And one locking door, and you have two.
No, I mean, I'm sure they would be willing to have it conditioned as part of the approval.
That's all I have at this point.
Any other board member questions?
Yes. Sir, I have just making sure that we collect all that water. And should you include the house volume from the limiters on that too, as far as volume of water that you're collecting?
My understanding, there's really no collection. It's conveyance and direct discharge.
So saying that roof is going to collect that water, and not collecting, it's going to run off towards the front of the property, right?
Yeah, I mean, it does now. That's the way, you know, the roof has gutters and leaders and downspouts.
So it's just done by pitch with the soil?
Are we talking about the garage roof or the house roof? The garage roof is done by pitch and the soil itself. So the soil and the system, the C-plast system actually allows for drainage as though it's a flat roof.
Right.
And so it'll sit on that drainage system on top of the concrete roof of the garage.
Right.
And that will go to the northeast corner where we're going to have drains for that at the north side of the garage. That will then go to leaders underground that we would bring out to the curb
so
line.
Any water that's on that gets collected,
yes.
goes down out to the
roof? Yes.
To the roof.
Yes.
As far as the stone, you're going to try to use the peanut stone.
Yeah, whatever we can get from the existing walls, as well as.
You can't use the peanut stone. Who decides what kind of stone that you use in the front there? My point is, it's saying it's a very big statement.
No, actually.
So my point is, I'd like to make sure that the stone, if you don't use the peanut stone, that it's something that's very similar to that.
Well, if you look down, as you go down along the wall, as you go north along Hooper Avenue, some of it's not peanut stone. Some of it is, in fact, a field stone. It's a gray field stone. And so where the retaining wall, especially at the north end, is, we're going to try to make it so that it looks like it's just that retaining wall returning back to the garage. So that's what our intent is, to try to keep that stone character at the north side. As it returns back to the garage. The peanut stone that is there in the retaining walls that we remove, we're going to clean it and reuse it and use as much of the surface area. I don't have a calculation at this point as to how much is being moved and removed and how much is being recreated. I can do that. I have not done it yet. I'm not sure how we control that in the approvals process.
Well, I just want to make sure.
No, no, I understand that. I understand the concern. I've done historic properties in my life, so
yeah, it's a big statement on it. I just want to protect the people.
Yep. I understand that.
If you can't use the peanut stone, or remove something similar.
Yeah, we're going to try to match the peanut stone.
Right, that's a condition.
Okay.
Can you just reiterate what?
Well, he's going to try to use the peanut stone. Okay, there's a chance he can't use the peanut stone, or it's just not worth it.
I want to make sure. We can't dictate what the materials will be that they're going to use. And I don't mean to contradict you, but
yeah.
I hesitate in putting that into you know, if this gets approved, you know, I don't, yeah, I would hesitate, because it could be subjective, you know.
So like Mr. Simpson said, I mean, the only risk, of course, is that you don't end up with enough peanut stone to do all the cladding, but the intent is to use the existing peanut stone. We may luck out during the excavation, find more on the site, given that the applicants have been finding a lot of it in their routine yard work. Would you say, Mr. Simpson, that where we can't use peanut stone, or if we can't use peanut stone, you try to seam in more of the field stone to kind of match?
Well, yeah, I think where my direction would go is that since the field stone was always part of the retaining walls along Hooper Avenue, I would try to focus that material on the retaining walls along Hooper Avenue. Where we get to the garage wall itself, which is the spaces in between the garage doors, I believe we may find that we have enough material from the retaining walls that are coming out. But I haven't done the math. I can't guarantee that will be true, that it's exactly. But our goal is to match it as best as we possibly can to the materials that are there. That is their interest.
So it's not as if we're going to try to use like a stucco or something.
Yeah. And I have no interest in trying to go seek out some kind of, faux stone of some kind or other. In this case, we know that stone, it's a character building element of that in that neighborhood. We understand that. Any other questions?
I do have a question. You had showed a photo that you brought tonight of a pipe sticking out, a drainage pipe.
We can pass it.
Yeah.
I just want to revisit that. There is a possibility that could come to be let out on like near the curb. I would really like to see that happen, that it does drain out onto the curb and not over the sidewalk.
Yes, that is our intent. We have to create, obviously, an apron that's going to be some 20-some feet wide. So we're going to have to make modifications to the curbing, and obviously, your engineer will require us to provide detailing of that. We're more than happy to provide that drain to come through the curb at the street.
We don't want icing on the sidewalk. It's a hill.
One of the things we actually found in investigation of the site was, once upon a time, we believed that there was actually a railing along that wall for people walking up the street. You can find pipe sleeves in the sidewalk as you come down the sidewalk now. We don't have any idea when those sleeves and, you know, when that may have been abandoned, but I think there was literally a handrail that was going along that street at one point or another.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anything else? First witness? Yeah, this time?
So we have the other Mr. Simpson, Robert Simpson, the geotech. I'd probably propose to call him very briefly just to talk to you about the slope stability.
Excuse me. Okay. Would like to ask the public their question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Anybody in the public? State your name and address.
Mark Fisher, 9130. I have one question. Completely unfamiliar. I think you called it the seed plant system. That's the
yes
going on the roof. The surface that's exposed to the light, I assume, is just dirt.
It's a lawn.
Okay. So what happens when that lawn freezes and then we have a rain? A condition in the winter where we've had cold weather, the dirt is frozen, there's a permafrost,
mm-hmm.
and we get a rain. Where does all that rain water go in that condition? The water that hits the roof now.
There's a drainage system, so it would be no different than a flat roof on a commercial building.
Okay.
So it goes, the turf, the sod that gets put in there actually goes into a media which is not just dirt. It's an actual permeable media. So rainwater, while you can have grass kind of grows on the top of it, the truth of the matter is there's a permeable media that the rainwater goes through to the surface of the seaplast. It's essentially a rubberized surface done in large sheets that's, essentially adhered to the roof that is there.
So you can never have a permafrost issue. The water's going to run through no matter what the temperature of that surface is.
I'm not a C-plast designer, so I can't say with absolute certainty that that can't happen?
I think that's a really good question. Mr. Simpson, to try to flesh that out, is there like a bit of coping around the sides of this?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, yes. And yes, the roof edges will in fact have a coping on the top of the roof. So it will again serve as a curb that will generate it towards the north and east.
So you're not going to have like a waterfall effect coming off the nine?
Yeah, no, it's being, yeah, the yes, thank you, Mr. Anderson.
So the water may be collected some other way, but it will still get out of the street?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, thank you.
I'm just wondering if there should be a trough drain at the end of that lawn.
It probably will have to be. I think, again, Mr. Garrido and I are probably going to have to work on that.
One of the reasons I'm concerned, I know the people who stored that property, their living area is in the low area.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
That's the reason I'm yep. sure that water is collected. I'm sure they can collect.
Not redirected, right? You don't want to concentrate or
redirect.
Yeah, it's got to go north and east and not west.
Right, we'll bring up the other Mr. Simpson. This Mr. Simpson will remain available if any other questions arise.
Sir, would you raise your right hand with me sworn? Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony that you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
And name and address, please.
Robert Simpson, 592 Raisley Town Road, Penn Argyle, Pennsylvania.
Mr. Simpson, would you put your credentials on the record, please?
Yes. I had a bachelor's degree from Purdue University in 1984, master's from NGIT in 1988, been a professional engineer in the state of New Jersey since 1988. I'm licensed in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Connecticut, and New York. I have testified before this board before on the steep slope matters, and I've been practicing geotechnical engineering for about 39 years.
Will the board accept the witness's credentials as a geotechnical engineer?
No objections. He's accepted.
Thank you. Mr. Simpson, are you familiar with the subject property?
Yes, I am.
The steep slope ordinance?
Yes, I am.
The architectural plans and engineering plans marked in evidence this evening?
Yes.
Mr. Romeyer's office steep slope approval from November of 2022?
Yes.
Okay, and did you prepare the geotechnical analysis that's been marked into evidence as A7 this evening?
Yes, it was prepared by my office under my direction.
Okay, and would you review the report and explain your findings to the board?
Yes, what we did is we started with the regional geology and looked at the, you're all familiar with swamp blocks in the area. So we wanted to see if there's any swamp blocks in the vicinity of this property, and we find that there aren't any. We did a site visit. We studied the grading plan, existing topographic survey, that was provided to us by Two Rivers, Mr. Garrido's office. And we went to the site, observed all the slopes on the site. In our report is a plan, which is really the survey plan from Two Rivers. And on that plan, we depicted what the slopes are throughout most of the property. And most of it is 3-to-1, 2.5-to-1. There are some 1-to-1 slopes and some 1.5-to-1 slopes. In general, the steep 1-to-1 slopes are going to be removed and replaced with a retaining wall. There is one area where there is a 1-to-1 slope in a small patch that's in densely forested area of the property. It's not going to be disturbed at all from what I understand from the construction. So we reviewed the construction. We reviewed the steep slopes. We reviewed the limit of disturbance. In general, the construction is going to stay within the front flat part of the site, and it's not going to impact the slopes at all around the property. The slopes that will be affected are going to be regraded with the retaining wall, as I think Mr. Garrido will come up and explain how that part of the property will be reestablished. We've reviewed that, and the final slope in that area should be stable, as well as the undisturbed existing slopes. So our opinion is generally there's no effect to the existing slopes due to the construction and the permanent condition that will be created.
I have no further questions to this witness, but I'd invite the board and their professionals to ask any questions.
Mr. Bumar, so here again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Did you perform any soil borings or investigations of the actual soil on site?
No.
To come to your conclusion?
We did not perform any borings on site.
And you don't know what the actual, do you know what the actual foundation is going to look like in terms of depth or horizontal footprint?
Well, I looked at the architectural drawings to see how deep the cuts would be. There'll be shallow spread footings bearing on the existing soils, from what I understand.
And based on that foundation, your conclusion is no concern with the proposed it's building addition. You're all right with?
For the foundations, that is?
Yes.
That they'll be sound?
Yes.
They should be, but it was not part of our scope to really evaluate the foundations for the house as far as the structural integrity of them on the soils there. So I assume that the soils will be inspected by special inspections to make sure that they're competent to bear the weight of the house and the bearing pressure.
And that would be done, those inspections you're referring to would be done by the property owners, professionals, correct?
They should be, yes.
With regards to your report, page 2, you talk about an area of concern and critical actions that are necessary that the applicant take. How will we gain a level of comfort that those actions to preserve the vegetation, the integrity, and undisturbed and not disturbed the remaining areas of 1-to-1 slope? How are those going to be implemented during construction if this is approved?
Well, it's my understanding, and if you do, you have my plan up there, or do you want me to put it?
I think it was an attachment to your report. I have
right.
A copy of the report. We can identify the page number.
I think it's right after the text of the report is the first major plan. Yes, it is.
It's the fourth page of the report. Is that right?
That's correct. So on that fourth page of the report, we identify the area that you're referring to on page 2. Which is, I'll read from our report. We've identified one area of concern in regard to the 1.5-to-1 or 1-to-1 portion of the slope that will remain undisturbed. Our understanding is it will remain undisturbed. And we go on to say that in the event that it is disturbed, it has to be regraded at 3-to-1, 3 horizontal to 1 vertical. But my understanding from Mr. Garrido is that it's not going to be disturbed. So we put, you know, our concern in the report is that the vegetation remain if it's not disturbed. How are we going to assure that it's not disturbed? If it does get disturbed during construction, it will have to be regraded.
It goes back to a quantitative issue with limited disturbance that's permitted on this site. So, in the past, other applicants in similar situations have agreed to stake out a limited disturbance, install some sort of demarcation like a silt fence. Perhaps something like that would be something you would be willing to offer, should that application be approved, to ensure there's no further encroachment by any of the contractors or subcontractors during the construction.
Looking in the gallery, and we have Mr. Simpson, the architect, and then seated to his left is Mr. Kalanidis.
The
civil engineer as well, if we can get him sworn, but I think they're prepared to make the statement that there'll be a silt fence and they'll stake the limits of disturbance.
Okay. Yeah, limited disturbance is defined on each area of plan.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any board members? Anyone from the public? Anybody on Zoom?
We have Mr. Garrido here. If you need to hear from him, I wasn't necessarily planning to call him, but you get him sworn if there's any particular questions, particularly from your own engineer.
Thank you.
Worthwhile. Thank you very much.
Evening, Mr. Garrido.
Mr. Garrido, raise your right hand and swear to this word from the name. Testimony you give in connection with this proceeding be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Name and address.
A.J. Garrido, 265 Route 34, Colts Neck, New Jersey. I'm a principal engineer with Two River Engineering. I'm a licensed engineer in the state of New Jersey. I've testified in numerous planning and zoning boards throughout the state, including this board on various occasions.
Will the board accept the witness's credentials as a professional engineer?
No objections. He's accepted.
Mr. Garrido, are you familiar with the subject property?
I am.
The steep slope ordinance?
Yes.
All right. You prepared the plans that were marked into evidence this evening as A6?
I did.
Okay. Just addressing the comment by Mr. Rohmeyer about the limits of disturbance, does your plan provide for some type of silt fence or stakeout of the limits of disturbance?
Yes, the limit of disturbance is identified on the steep slope plan, and it's also noted that it'll be encumbered with a silt fence prior to construction.
Okay. I don't have any particular questions of you. I'd certainly invite you to offer any relevant testimony. You know, you've heard the board's concerns this evening, mainly involving slope stability and things of channeling water, bringing it towards the street. If there's anything you can offer, that's great. If not, I would just open it up to the board and their professionals for questions.
Okay. I think the project was pretty well described by the previous two professionals. My work was really involving just identifying the steep slopes, calculating what the amount of disturbance that could be done and whatnot, and really setting the elevation of the proposed garage. It was somewhat challenging because the steep slope on Hooper Avenue, currently the existing garage, it slopes from the street into the garage, where we wanted obviously to create a garage that was going to slope back down towards the road, which we were able to accomplish. Mike Simpson, the architect, described about the rooftop and where that stormwater runoff would go to, and that was another thing that, you know, we've given a lot of thought to, so I think that's a positive. I mean, all the water obviously run off to Hooper Avenue as opposed to the west, where there's is a steep slope that we're not proposing to touch or disturb.
Thank you. Very quickly, with regards to impervious area, the underlying zoning district regulates impervious on the site, and being within the steep slope area, it's further restricted. For this particular property, max impervious surface allowable is 4,958 square feet, and the proposal brings it very close to that maximum limit. The concern is any additional service wall, any additional driveway expansion would push it over. So are you comfortable and confident that the plan as depicted includes all the impervious that's going to be needed to serve this proposed building addition?
Yes, I am. And even when we did the calculations, we were slightly over, so we removed, there was an existing brick walkway in the rear, we removed portions of that to get it to be under. If there was some unforeseen thing of an additional wall that we have to construct, certainly there's an additional walkways that we could remove to get it back to where we had to be.
Yep, it's a very challenging site.
Absolutely.
So I recognize that, you know, the building addition is pushed right up to the top of slope. You're pushed right out to the road. You're maximizing the impervious allowable. So if you refer back to our, I think it was October or November of 22 when we did the steep slope review for the property, one of the recommendations was post-construction, do a full as-built and recalculate to confirm that all the conditions were met on the property.
It's really just, that intention is there because this proposal is right up against many of the thresholds, so I think that'll be an appropriate condition of approval, should the application be approved. For some housekeeping items, I believe the steep slope plan refers back to a September of 2021 survey. Is, are all the conditions on site still accurate?
I was just there today taking photos. Mike had photos for you, but as far as I could tell, it appears accurate, and there hasn't been any new structures or anything that I noticed.
And then just one more time for the record, all runoff or any stormwater that lands on that proposed green roof will be directed to the road, correct?
Correct, and I'll work with Mike in your office to provide details of that if the board were to approve the application.
And we had some good comment and question from the public. So you could envision a rain event that could drop water faster than a turf system could infiltrate it. So I think it's critical that spot grades be provided on the roof at the top of turf levels, also indicating that all water will come forward. Sometimes, if you design like a sports field, you might have a nice hogback design on a football field, but the underlying drainage could push that water where you want it to go. But in this instance, you're right at the top of that critical slope, so even surface water that's unable to infiltrate should be directed to the front.
Agreed, and like I said, I'll work with Mike on that exact system. Apparently it's used before, and if there's a way to, like you said, for the turf field where there's a slope where the actual turf could slope even a little bit to the street, I think that would probably be a positive thing to do.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Any questions from board members? Anyone from the public? Zoom? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. So that's our case. just a quick nutshell, we're not changing the side setback. It is what it is. The testimony is it's been that way since the early 1900s. Not changing the shed setback also is what it is. Don't have the precise data when that was established, but the idea is just to keep a single mower in that shed. So the thrust of the application ends up being the front setback. It's 14.9 feet where 25 is required. I think we've probably sufficiently shown you that pushing the garage, pushing the driveway back into the site is not technically feasible given the slopes on the site. We're trying to do something that I think is quite a nice looking plan, something that the homeowner and the professionals have strived to make harmonious with the neighborhood. So I think there is an aesthetic benefit to it that Mr. Simpson clearly described. And you've also heard about the need to create the additional parking, try to keep the cars off of this street, which is very, very sloping. I didn't want to park on it when I drove up there. It's scary. And parking is sort of a short supply up there. So trying to be good neighbors, leave it for the folks who don't have driveways, as opposed to taking it when we could get this two-car garage there where we can keep everything off-site and discreetly stored, inside the hillside. So I think it's a good plan, and I certainly think both under the C1 and the C2, the board would be at liberty to grant the variance relief. I can't think of any, detriments. We're trying to be good neighbors and avoid shedding water onto people or onto critical slopes. We're going to bring it all to the street, and we've heard all the board's concerns. We've heard the professionals' concerns, and I think certainly the things that we talked about would be reasonable conditions of approval if the board were so inclined to grant the approval. They're things we could live with. They're common sense, and I think they make for a better and safer plan, both during construction and after.
Thank you. Any comments? Comments from the public on this application? Any comments from Zoom? Open for board discussion then. And so, Mr. Stein, can you just go over the conditions if this were to be approved? Just what we're voting on and what the conditions are.
From what I have, the applicant is to use best effort to cut stone walls using on-site materials where available, reusing existing home, or to use similar materials such as fieldstone. The applicant is going to provide the numbers on the plans establishing that the lowest level is in fact the cellar. The applicant's going to provide a drainage plan demonstrating that all stormwater will be directed to the street and none directed over the slope. That there will be construction is going to depict on the plans the area of disturbance and showing that the it be delineated and that there will be silt fencing around that area. The applicant has indicated that where slopes of 1:1 are disturbed, they will regrade them to 3:1. That the applicant is going to provide an as-built plan following construction to confirm that the construction conforms with the approved plan. All water from the roof to be directed to the street. Spot grades will be provided regarding the roof to confirm that the water will be properly projected. That's what I have.
Okay. Thank you.
There's no sediment there, right?
It's a good question. Mr. Simpson? They asked if there's any septic system. No.
No.
Told it's sewer.
Just real quick before we move to our discussion, regarding the two large trees that are going to be removed, is it possible that a tree in kind, obviously not that old, could be replanted elsewhere on the property just to maintain that canopy coverage? I don't know if that's something if we can ask or if we want to talk about it. But
homeowner are certainly willing to plant other materials on the site. As I mentioned, the actual roof system on top of the garage would not,
yeah,
is
no,
not
totally
practical. The location where the cellar stairs is going to be, they have discussed wanting to replant there, but they're not really sure what they want because they felt that the conifer that's there is too dense. They wanted something more deciduous in that location. So as it relates to the oak tree, my concern would be where can you plant? Again, obviously you can't plant a 30-inch tree in that on the site. It would be impractical to plant another 30-inch tree. The question would be, without disturbing the various different steep slopes, where could you in fact bring that tree in? I'm sure they're amenable to planting another tree to take that one away, but it's a little bit cautionary as far as where we can put it, the disturbances of the slope. That's all.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be a requirement. It's just something that it would be good to see. I'd prefer to see it.
Landscape plan?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any comments, thoughts?
I got a comment. Very familiar with Hooper Avenue. It's one of the steepest roads in town, a little dangerous. I think it's a very big improvement to the house and the neighborhood to get those cars off the street. We had an incident about 4 or 5 years ago where someone hit a car on the top of the road. It hit two other cars, knocked them loose, and they went into a house down the street and almost took a three-story porch down.
Yeah, and that was our client's car that went into the house.
So to get across the street is very great. Well, for that street especially, it's a good thing. And just for the safety of the homeowners, they'll be a lot more safer getting in and out of their car. And I think that I see it as a very big improvement to their house in the area. I think it's worth it.
It's a creative solution to a challenging parcel. It's obviously a tremendous amount of thought and professionalism is not needed. So I agree with Chuck.
Yeah, I echo those thoughts. I'll make a motion to approve, with the conditions stated.
I'll second.
Mr. Bachman.
Yes.
Councilman Dockery.
Yes.
Mr. Jasko.
Yes.
Mr. Kapinski.
Yes.
Ms. Nadrowski?
Yes.
Mr. Curtis?
Yes.
Acting Chair Smith?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. For the board, can you hang on just a second before adjourned, please? Hang on a second, I just have to ask Mrs. Stein a question. Vote for adjournment? Adjournment? Yes, we're done.
Okay. I'm making a motion.
I'll second to adjourn 2023.
That's right.
Aye.
In favor?
Aye.
Say happy holidays.
And a happy new year.